Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing? Hello, believers. Alhamdulillah. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad, calling from Los Angeles, and this is Religion Means Alive. This is Imam Alfred Muhammad's show, Religion Means Alive, and I'm hosting it today. And my name, like I said, is Amin Yasir Muhammad, and I have a show called Why They Want You to Be Rich. Why They Want You to Be Rich. Alhamdulillah. Can you hold on 1 second? Here. Yes, alhamdulillah. This is a show stemming from Imam W.D. Muhammad making a comment in a talk that he did during a Ramadan session in 2008. He talked in this Ramadan session, and he said that it's a new thing. I'm paraphrasing now. It's a new thing happening in America where two rich people, very rich people, get together and write a book to urge and to support and to encourage poor people and middle-class people to be entrepreneurs and to become rich, Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad also said that one of these people is a European and one is an Asian, and they are very, very rich. And Imam Muhammad said that he is very impressed with it, and he said that these people taking this time out to write this book and to encourage poor people, middle class people, to become rich and to be more in control of their lives is a very good thing. And he said the reason that these people did this, and he was talking about Donald Trump, Imam Muhammad was talking about Donald Trump, and he was talking about Robert Kiyosaki. And the book is entitled Why We Want You to Be Rich. It's a book that was written in 2006. And the imam, you know, obviously he read the book at that time, and he was very impressed. And he said that these men are good-hearted humans. They're good-hearted humans. And that's why they're doing this, writing that book called Why We Want You to Be Rich. Imam was very impressed with that. Now, Donald Trump is our president of the United States. And in the book, I was just going over the book again last night, and it was saying that Donald Trump had aspirations in 2006 of being president, and people was organizing our campaign way back in 2006. And so I follow leadership. I follow Imam Muhammad. I'm a student of Imam Muhammad. And I am a support of Donald Trump. I am a support of Donald Trump. I'm going on this statement by Imam Muhammad that he is a good-hearted human. So my show, which is called Why They Want You to Be Rich, Why They Want You to Be Rich, is a show that's going to go into the policy and talk about the policy of the Trump administration. Given that I know it's a lot of talk, it's a lot of negative press. He says, Donald Trump says that the media is doing him a disservice. The media is lying and they are distorting the truth. This is what he talks about all the time. And he says that the media really, really is doing him a disservice. And I agree with him. I agree with him because of this. we have experience in this community and in the community of Imam Dawood Muhammad, where Imam Dawood Muhammad began teaching in 1975 up until the day that he returned to Allah in 2008. But what did the media do for Imam Muhammad? Did the media actually give him the recognition that he should have? I mean, he met with the Pope of Rome. He addressed the Vatican, you know, 100,000 people at the Vatican. He was a Muslim who took over the Nation of Islam and changed his father's teaching. He did a masterful job of bringing us into reality and the truth, al-haq, you know. So what did the media do for him? Did the media really say, well, this is something great that this Muslim is doing? No. We know in the 30-something years that the Imam taught, that the media really, really did it. You know, their strategy was, don't say nothing against him. Don't say nothing for him. Just ignore him. Ignore the Imam. So the Imam really, really, in all those 33 years, he should have been celebrated and praised and acknowledged, but he didn't. So we know how the media treated us. You know, they were given to get Minister Farrakhan on there and talk to Minister Farrakhan about him playing a violin and other things too. But they really didn't do anything for our community. So when Donald Trump talks about how the media slants things and distorts things, I'm inclined to agree with him. I'm inclined to agree with him. Why do I support Donald Trump now? Number one, you may have said he's a good-hearted human. It starts right there. And then I noticed that he appointed a lady named Betsy DeVos as his education secretary. Education secretary, Betsy DeVos. And Betsy DeVos is staunch supporter and enthusiast of vouchers. Are a way to finance education. A child who gets a voucher, it may be, I heard the figure the other day, like $7,000 a year. That child could take that voucher and go to any school that will accept him. It could be a private school, it could be a religious school, it could be whatever, a Christian school, it could be a Jewish school, it could be a Muslim school, any school that would accept them. In other words, a child don't have to go to a school in his zip code like how they really do it now. Having a child go to school in their zip code, and the school may be a low-performing school, it may be a poor-performing school, but a child does not have to go to a school in the zip code. So a child under the voucher system, and this is going to happen, inshallah, because President Trump nominated Betsy DeVos, and she's the education secretary, and she is a pit bull. I hate to use that expression, but she is very enthusiastic about vouchers. So how does the vouchers help us? Because it helps us because we have Clara Muhammad schools. We have Clara Muhammad schools. And our Clara Muhammad schools have to be funded. And a great many imams or people have been saying, well, we can't support and sustain the Clara Muhammad schools because we don't get enough revenue from parents and fundraisers and alumni. And so these Clara Muhammad schools have been neglected. Of the close to 100 Clara Muhammad schools that we had in the 70s, it's down to about maybe 6 or 7, 8 full-time Clara Muhammad schools. So Clare Muhammad Schools needs support. These vouchers could help the Clare Muhammad Schools. These vouchers that the Trump administration have brought out. The Trump administration is very critical of the public school system. He has said that the public school system have lots of cash, but they don't deliver for the kids. They don't deliver for the kids. That is one of the reasons, the greatest reason that I support him, because he's starting to deliver. But it all stemmed from the email saying Donald Trump is a good-hearted human, a good-hearted human. And so I'm going on that no matter what. Another reason that I see that I support Donald Trump is because his position on abortions. About a month ago or so, he signed a bill that would limit the amount of money that would go toward abortions. And as a people, we have millions and millions of, excuse me one second. We have millions and millions of young African-American women who have had abortions. It has to be like, I think the figure was 17 million since 1973. 17 million abortions. Some of the young women use abortion as a way of contraception. Way of contraception. Huh? Sounds good? Alhamdulillah. Yes. And so Donald Trump signed a bill not too long ago, alhamdulillah, that made it hard for foreign nonprofits operating overseas to administer abortions overseas and here in the United States. So, because the law says, what does the law says? Kill not your, it says, old believers, old people, kill not your children for fear and want. I'll take care, I'm paraphrasing, I'll take care of you and I'll take care of the child. Kill not your children. He says in the law, he finishes it off by saying, killing your children is a great sin. So this whole phenomenon of abortion, of aborting babies, you know, Allah speaks strongly against it. Well, Donald Trump has accommodated that. Maybe unwillingly, he may not have known, he may know or he may not know that Allah says it in the Holy Quran, but he probably knows. He's a very smart man. He knows. He probably knows that Allah speaks against abortion in the Holy Quran. You know. Another thing that Trump is doing, last week, you know, we were terrorized as a population when they, under the Obama administration, was saying that a person who changed his sex could now go into the bathrooms of that. In other words, a man who changes his sex or identifies, he don't have to change his sex, but just identify with a certain sex. If he says, if a man says, I'm a girl, if he just says it, he could go into the bathroom of girls. And he's a man. He could be a man. You know. So Donald Trump did away with that. And alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. So we need to support him. Now, it's a lot of Muslims, I find, have been getting carried away so much with the anti-Trump rhetoric in the media. This, I believe, is being sponsored and supported and encouraged by the LGBT community and also the abortion community. They are very rich. They got lots of money. And they could sponsor and pay and encourage all kind of demonstrations, all kind of people acting up. But I'm so surprised how the Muslims, how our community, some of the people in our community have gone along with this Trump bashing and have refused to look a little further than the rhetoric and other things that are happening, you know, in the community. So my show is Why They Want You to Be Rich, and it's going to focus on what Imam Muhammad told us to do, you know, study and find out what these two rich men are talking about, what these rich men are talking about in the book. It's entitled Why We Want You to Be Rich, and this is what you should do. You should go out and buy that book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, and let's talk about it, inshallah. I plan to have an ongoing show, and we're going to talk about these economic matters as much as we can. So I'm encouraging the believers to get the book. I'm encouraging the believers to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal and do what Imam Muhammad told us to do, see if we could recapture our neighborhood, grow our neighborhood, do business in our own community. You know, like Imam Muhammad said very long ago, he talked for about 10 straight years about reestablishing our neighborhood, how it's almost a shame that we don't control our neighborhoods, we don't control our communities. Other people could come into our community and take out all of our money, and we support them, and we don't have people establishing businesses ourselves. Imam Muhammad really, really talked about that phenomenon, that we are very neglectful of our economic responsibility, economic duty. So that's what we want to do. We want to study economics. We want to study business. We want to encourage believers to create businesses, you know, and we're going to recognize, you know, those believers who, you know, who are doing business, you know, support them. So, number one, get the book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. I encourage you to start reading the Wall Street Journal. I think the Wall Street Journal has an introductory subscription where you, they'll deliver it to your doorstep for 3 months for like $12. $12 for 3 months. Then after that, it'll go up to about $30-something a month, and the newspaper will come to your front porch. Well, we need to start reading it as best we can, you know, and encourage our children as best we can. Now, another issue, alhamdulillah, like I said, vouchers. We want Claire Muhammad schools to grow. We want to do what Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad encouraged us to do, have our own schools. We have our children go to our schools. All praise be to Allah. And so we want to support our Claire Muhammad schools. And we want our children to study. That's another thing, to study mathematics and science. Did you know? I'm going to repeat this a lot. Did you know that Imam Muhammad said that the whole purpose, the P-U-R-P-O-S, the whole purpose of the Holy Quran is to eventually lead us toward the exact sciences, the exact sciences. That's the purpose of the Holy Quran, to lead the believer to the exact science. Did you know that? If you want to see that, go to my Facebook page, New Africa, Space Code, and STEM Academy. I got that video right there. I got that segment right there. I think it was Ramadan session. If you go to my Facebook page, Space, like the Space Race, SPACE, Code, CODE. Code is a kind of acronym or like short for computer science. And STEM Academy. STEM, what is that? Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. STEM Academy. Excuse me one second. Hold on, please. Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Alhamdulillah. So if you go to New Africa, Space Code and STEM Academy, and play the video where the Imam says that the purpose of the Holy Quran is to lead us toward the exact sciences. What does that mean then? That means that our educational system should be based in science. Science, mathematics, science, the exact science. A whole educational system. I taught school in the school system here in California. A school day is approximately 6 hours. 6 hours. This school system has those 6 hours broke down and apportioned for the children where they have English language arts, history and social science, math and science. English language arts, history and social science. In a school day, they have approximately 4 hours dedicated to English language arts, history and social science. Less than an hour of math, less than an hour of science. That should be reversed. We should have 2 hours of math for our children and 2 hours of science every day. And then we should break up the other 2 hours of a school day for English language arts, history, and social science. Of course, the children have to learn English, and they will. Once you teach your child how to read, then have that child read things about science. There's so much the child can read about science, but once you teach him the alphabet and teach him, ABC, they don't have to be dumbed down like the school system is dumbing down our children by giving our children everything but science and mathematics. That's intentional. That's intentional. That's to dumb us down, dumb our children down. So like Imam Muhammad says, he's a student of science. We should have our Clara Muhammad schools scientifically based, science-based. The chemistry, the biology, the physics, the astronomy, the mathematics. Our children should be some of the sharpest children in the world, inshallah. We got the Holy Quran. We got everything we need. We got that, the Holy Book. We got the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. We have that. We have it. We just need to follow and do what Imam Muhammad have told us to do. We should stop being rebellious people. We should do what he tells us to do. He told us, it has to be 20, 25, 30 years ago, he says, don't build masjid. Don't build masajid. Build schools and hold your talims and your juma in the school. He says, let's focus on education for our children. He said that years ago. He said, don't build masjid. A masjid is only utilized maybe an hour on Friday and maybe an hour on Sunday or through the week for talim. Maybe about 2 or 3 hours a week is mandated for the usage of the masjid. For Juma, maybe an hour and a half for Juma, and maybe an hour and a half or so for a talim during the week or on a Sunday or whatever, Saturday. So in other words, my point is we don't use messages, but we could utilize the school. That school could be teeming with little rambunctious kids running around, learning. You know, we're passing along our heritage, our legacy, the legacy of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Farad Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, you know, the early believers here, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, our children could, you know, we should put pressure, parents, we should spread the word, listen to what I'm saying. We should put pressure on the imam, tell the imams, hey, imam, convert that masjid. Let's convert our masjid into a school. Let's convert our masjid into a school, and let's send our children, let's educate our children ourselves in the Holy Quran and Arabic, mathematics and science. We should encourage our encourage our people, put pressure on the imam to convert those masjids at school. And we should start this movement. We should encourage people to write poems and songs and write converting our masjids into school, you know, and hold Juma in the school and make our priority be our children. Stop sending our children to school with Snoop Dogg and Lil Wayne, you know, corrupting them with gangster rap and all that foolishness in the public school system. I know I taught in the public school system, you know, alhamdulillah, please believe me. You know, our children need a pure environment. See, alhamdulillah, pure environment. We should encourage, we should encourage our imams, put pressure on them. Imam, become educational minded. That's what we need. We need educational minded imams. We don't need these just preachers. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Another thing that I like about President Trump is his emphasis on job creation, creating jobs. He calls it infrastructure repair. He says he wants to dedicate $1 trillion. That's a lot of money toward creating jobs for our young people and our families and our men. You know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to take so much. I think, alhamdulillah, I sure hope he doesn't become a warmonger and continue with those warmonger military industrial complex ideas where they warmonger and make money warmongering by blowing up bridges and rebuilding the bridges and blowing up streets and highways and you know, electrical systems and then rebuild them. And they make millions and billions of dollars just by creating these wars and destruction and then go back up and get paid to rebuild it, to rebuild these things. Alhamdulillah. So in about a half hour, I'm going to have Brother Reuben Khatib. We know him as Muhammad Khatib, but Muhammad Khatib used to be Reuben Khatib, and a lot of believers know who Reuben Khatib is. So he's going to come on, and he's going to talk to us also at 5 o'clock. But I'm going to, this is the halfway mark. This is my first show of Why They Want You to Be Rich. And inshallah, I'm going to be broadcasting from 4 to 6 every day except Sunday, maybe 5 days a week, five or six days a week, alhamdulillah, from 4 to 6, I'm going to broadcast. So spread the word, and let's talk about prosperity. Let's talk about just doing some things. Let's talk about entrepreneurship. Let's talk about Tara Muhammad schools. What can we do for our children? How we could teach our children and expose our children to more mathematics and science, like Allah says, you know. And so, inshallah, like I said, 4 to 6 p.m., spread the word. I'm going to advertise more on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page, New Africa Space, Code, and STEM Academy. Why do I say space? Space. Because I want to encourage our children to get into science. And it looks like when you talk about space, that's a great way, a great segue, a great way to get children to capture their imagination when you talk about the sun, the moon, and stars, and, you know, Pluto and Uranus and Saturn, and you know what I mean, and the whole technology and science that it took, and mathematics that it took to put, you know, those space vehicles in space. But we also, I mean, this is Allah's universe, you know, and that's what science is, the study of the universe, Allah's universe, not only the space, but also, you know, microscopic beings, you know, molecules, atoms, and bacteria, and all of Allah's creation, you know, science. Let our children just get into it. And we create the environment, and environment that they could just thrive in that environment. That we produce geniuses, you know, geniuses. That's what we should want. We should want to produce our children geniuses, not children. Alhamdulillah. So, in about a half hour, like I repeat, we'll have Muhammad Khatib come on and talk to us and spread the word. Inshallah, we'll be on from 4 to 6 every day. And so tell your friends, tell your relatives to come and listen, and let's do something. Let's implement the programs of the Imam W.D. Muhammad, and let's implement the programs of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Claire Muhammad. Let's do that. So President Trump wants to do infrastructure repair. He wants to hire. He wants to give jobs to a lot of people. And we have too many youngsters who are languishing in jail or doing crime that should be working. These brothers are young men. They're creating babies. They're impregnating these females. They need work. They need to work. We need to talk to them. We need to do dawah. We need to help them, you know, come into their right mind. You see, alhamdulillah. So, infrastructure. You know, it's so much in the news about how Donald Trump tweets things. Tweet. T-W-E-E-T. Yeah, he tweets. Messages, how he tweets messages. Well, if you use that same approach with infrastructure, you can break it down, T-W-E-E-C, tweak. Infrastructure, it's mainly 5 types of infrastructure. In other words, my point is, it's so much to do when you talk about infrastructure. It's T standing for, I forgot it now, but it's a certain type of infrastructure. W is like water. E is electrical infrastructure. And the other E is, I think, some type of engineering infrastructure. It's kind of like an acronym I'm trying to get at. But it's so much. It's so much that we could put people to work doing. That's trillion dollars. also, I hope that we don't continue with our warmongering as a people, as a nation, with our warmongering. The, you know, the neocons influenced our foreign policy, where they got into nation, what they call nation building and regime change. In other words, if they didn't like an overseas leader like Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi, they say it's perfectly okay to arm the opposition to these people and encourage the people to overthrow him. In other words, you know, make them fight among each other. That's so devilish. That's like the devil. Make them fight among each other and overthrow them. So we spend money, you know what I mean, fighting in Sudan and Somalia, you know what I mean, Iraq, you know what I mean, and Syria, Libya. You see, and it's so wrong and so bad, you see. So hopefully President Trump will not be that type of president. He says that he's not going to. In fact, that's one of his platforms. That's one of his planks of his platform, to not engage in regime change and not engage in nation building for another. In other words, he says America first, that he's in a sense a nationalist now, and he says that he is going to bring that money home that is spent overseas and spend it on our people here in the United States. Alhamdulillah. I sure wish he could do that. I sure wish he could do that. I believe that he's going to be a peace president. Why do I say he could be a peace president? Because he has skin in the game. He has what they call skin in the game. In other words, he's a businessman, and he has holdings all over the world, all kind of foreign countries. How can he warmonger when he has hotels and resorts all over the world? And a lot of what he has is very vulnerable. So why should he engage? He's a businessman. Why should he engage in warmongering? You know what I mean? And find it so easy to up and kill people, kill villages. He's a businessman. Anyway, he might want to open up a hotel in Iraq one day, or a resort, you know. That makes more sense to me. So I think that since he has so many holdings, that he's going to be a peace president. This is, I guess, wishful thinking. Hopefully, inshallah, it happens. But I hope, hopefully, these wars will stop, because I'm very, very, it hurts my heart. It really tears me up to some of the news and see these people, these Muslim peoples, living in these bombed out cities, and so much destruction, living in so much just hell. So many people having to leave their country and go live in Turkey or Lebanon, or, you know what I mean, the other countries. These refugees, these people, these homeless people, because of these wars that the neocons inspired, these ungodly Jews inspired way back, you know. Go and look at the history, you know, of these neocons. You know, so they've, you know, got their way. They got to the foreign policy. They got to our president. They even got to Obama, and continued with these wars of destruction, these refugees, these children, these, you know. They say 500,000 orphans in Iraq. That's what the number is. They asked Madeleine Albright and Hillary Clinton about that number, 500,000. They gave some old off the wall answer. In other words, this is kind of inhuman. So inshallah, hopefully we could ask Allah to help us stop these wars, stop these refugees, see these refugees, these people homeless, these young girls, young boys homeless. That's so, so sad, so sad. I'm dear not. All right, bro. So I wish we could take questions, but this is my maiden voyage. This is our first show, and we don't really have all of our engineering, you know, skills going right now. But inshallah, we will. We will, and we'll be able to take calls and have the believers, you guys, you believers, to chime in and give us your opinion about things and work with us. Work with us, because all we're going to do is work Imam W.D. Muhammad's program. Imam W.D. Muhammad's program are very logical, reasonable, the exact programs that we need. Anything from the school to encouraging us to work and create businesses. You know, Imam W.D. Muhammad's program, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program, that's where we are. That's what we're going to do. Alhamdulillah. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to stop the show, and we're going to resume. I'm going to contact Muhammad Khatib, Ruben Khatib, and we're going to start up again in about maybe 10 minutes. We have to get some logistics together, and I'm going to contact Brother Ruben, and so he's going to talk to us also. So dial back in about 10 minutes and call and tell some people about our show, and alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
You have to keep in mind that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person who was not taught. You know, you yourself, you know, some of your parents, they may have only a third grade education, a fifth grade education, or whatever. We can't let lack of so-called institutional knowledge stop us. Our main book is the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say if your institutional knowledge goes away, you'll go astray. Or if you don't have it, you'll go astray. He said if you would hold on to the book of Allah and his way of living it, his sunnah, you know, what he said, what his example was or is, then you would never go astray. So let's keep that in our minds and realize that if we get into the Quran, Allah says the Quran is, you know, the book with its fusilat, explained in detail. And Allah says in the Quran that no important matter is left out of it. So we have all the important matters. You know, I could actually tell somebody, and you could too. You should say, you can say, I know everything. I know everything. Now I can see people running for the door. And I can see some some people crossing themselves, you know, not Muslims, inshallah. But no, it doesn't make you a bad person if you say you know everything. If you've got that Holy Quran, you've got access to all the answers. The more you learn the Quran, the more you live in the Quran, you should be speaking Quran language, Quranese. You should be speaking Quran language. Prophet Muhammad said, he said, and the Quran said, read as much as may be easy for you. And he said, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. So every day you should be studying Quran. And he also said, for every letter that you learn of the Quran. Now, I'm not talking about just the translations. The translations, there's plenty of good ones out there. But you need to learn the Arabic, because the Arabic is what Allah spoke to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in, and it contains the divine message of Allah, the divine words of Allah. The Quran is Allah's own words. Now, what school are you going to go to and say that you got an education, but you don't have Allah's own words in your mind? So get the Quran, brothers and sisters. Let's get the Quran and let the Quran shape us. Let's follow the sunnah, the example and the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep in mind, the Quran, Allah's word, shaped him. If you look in the Quran, I believe it's several times, but I know it's at least once, it says that the Quran itself is the imam. Quran itself is an imam. It's the leading imam. It's the imam that makes us imams, or it's the imam that will make you an imam, because that's Allah's word. Imam means that which is out front. And we know that these are the words of the prayers, and your prayers are not accepted if you don't use the words of the Holy Quran in your structured prayer, your five daily prayer. So we as Muslims, our duty is to follow the Quran, get the Quran in us, follow the Quran, and let it shape us. The Quran will process you. The words, Allah's words, will process you. Now, I could talk to you, your friends could talk to you, your mother and father could talk to you. Peace be upon them if they're not living. Your closest relatives could be talking to you, but there is no one that is nearer to you than Allah. And there's no one that will ever be able to say words to you better than what Allah has revealed. That's what made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers of peace be upon him, be more important to you than even your father and mother. Yeah, he says he has to be dearer to you than even your parents. Then you are a real believer. And why? Why? Because he was the carrier of Allah's words. The Holy Quran are Allah's words, the Creator's words. When you look out and you see the sun shining, you see that you feel the air moving, you're breathing the air, you're looking, you're walking on the firm ground and everything, you're drinking the fresh and clean waters, I hope. When you look out and you see these elements of nature, you have to understand that Allah made these things. And he made those things just like he made you. And he made you out of these things. Allah's words are his will, his desire, and his words is what the whole creation is made of. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us to worship him by the number of things he has made. When you look at something, it could be really, really small. But you got to understand that that really, really small thing is made up of millions and millions of other things called atoms or particles. And, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, worship Allah by the number of things he has made. So there's actually uncountable reasons and times that we should be worshiping Allah. In other words, if you worship Allah by the number of things that he's made, by the amount of things he's made, then your whole being, you would be like Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, said that he asked Allah, Allah, show me yourself. Can I see you? And Allah the Most High said, you can't see me, but if you look at that mountain, you'll be able to get, you know, what's it called? The Quran says Allah manifested his glory, you know, something of his power, onto the side of the mountain. And when Moses saw that, it was so much for his mind, his thinking, his consciousness, so much for his sight that he just passed out. Just passed out. brothers and sisters, let us worship Allah by the amount of things he's made, because Allah is all-powerful, and Allah is your creator. He's your cherisher and your sustainer. Allah loves you, and he wants you to be strong. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to be great. Allah wants that for you. He says that you are supposed to become so powerful, so great, so knowledgeable, so firm, so firmly attached to him, his will, that his will, you're supposed to let your will or his will become your will. And Allah says if you let your will or his, excuse me, if you let his will, Allah's will become your will, then he becomes you. He becomes the hand you strike with. He becomes the voice you speak with, the foot you walk with. Now, I know somebody will say, oh, I don't mean it. Well, what does it mean then? Allah has said it through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he will become the voice you speak with, the hand you strike with, the foot you walk with. So you will be something of Allah's own servant, close to him, expressing his glory, expressing his power, expressing, and I don't, you can't do it all the way, but that's why we have the name Abdul. So if you want to be, if you're a creative person, and you want to be creative, and you're asking Allah to bless you, and bless you with his nearness, and bless you with his spirit of powerful creation, it says, Sibgata Allah, wa man asanu min Allahi Sibgata, that the, this is the coloring or the baptism, like the shaping by Allah. The whole creation is that. This is the coloring of Allah, the baptism of Allah. And who, the Quran says this, this is a verse, and who can baptize better than Allah? So if I want to be creative and I give myself to Allah and say, oh, Allah, make me creative like you are creative, then you can't be Allah creative, but you can be Abdullah. You can, and incidentally, Abdul Khaliq, the one who is a servant of Allah with a special view or a special desire to be creative like Allah is creative. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's right in the Quran, that Allah is always involved in a very busy work. Very busy work. So I didn't mean to go on and on, but you can hear that I'm kind of excitable fellow. And it's okay to be excited about this religion, Al-Islam. In fact, if you're not excited about Al-Islam, what are you excited about? You need to confront yourself. You need to confront yourself because Allah, whether you know it or not, he's your only Lord. And the more you show Allah that in your mind, in your heart, in your life, he's your only Lord, the more he does for you. He says that through the Prophet, peace be upon him, that if you walk towards him, he'll run towards you. In other words, Allah is ready to bless you. He made you for his mercy. He made you for his blessings. He made you to rule. That's what I was going to say earlier. Allah says, Hudladi ja'alakum khalifal ard. Hudladi ja'alakum khalifal ard. He's the one who has made you his supervisor. Supervisor not over Allah, but supervisor over the earth, al ard. Hudladi ja'alakum khalifal ard. The caliph, the caretaker, the supervisor over the earth. And you're supposed to be big and strong. Nobody in the society is supposed to be guiding you as a believer when they're not a believer. Nobody in society is supposed to be guiding you when they don't want to obey Allah, when they don't want to respect Allah. You don't have to obey them. You can actually say you're better than them, and you will be. Allah said in the Quran, he is the one who has made you in the best of molds, the best of molds. So you're not behind anyone. You're not sitting behind anyone telling them because they went to the big schools or because they're a certain color or because they're a certain gender or because they can speak so eloquently or because they got big money or big old house, a lot of land, soldiers, killers, dope, whatever. Don't follow none of them. You don't follow none of them. You are put to be a decision maker and to communicate what Allah would have you communicate using the Quran to do it, using the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do it, and you'll be a person who'll never go astray. So I was going to say that I'm kind of an excitable fellow. I'm excited about this religion. I'm happy with this religion. Allah said in the Quran, the believers will have joy in all that they do. The believers will have joy in all that they do. I try to realize that. I try to make it, you know, Allah don't be holding us back. Allah says in the Quran, He does not oppress anyone. He says He has forbidden oppression even for Himself. He said His rule is the rule of mercy for you. That's what Allah said. Yeah. He said His rule is the rule of mercy for you. So sometimes, you know, the world can get us so beat down and depressed and get us so worried and scared and all that, that we start holding our own selves back. It's not Allah holding us back. So give yourself to Allah. Allah says He give you what you pray for, and then you turn around and flinch. You don't want to flinch. This is the verse in the Quran. Don't do it, brothers and sisters. Don't flinch. Don't worry. Be bold. Be bold carriers of this word to the world. Now, be strategic, too. I heard Imam Muhammad, peace be upon him, one time say that we have to be, sometimes we have to do things in an unorthodox. That means not the usual way. And Allah tells us it's okay to be that way. You know, you got to use strategy. Strategy in war, strategy in seeing who you're going to tell your precious things to, strategy in how you're going to raise your family. You know, sometimes the people in the family could doubt you, or sometimes they go so far as to be against you, and they'll tell you stuff, I don't agree with that, or I disagree, you know, almost where you get the words out your mouth. But you got to be, Allah says sometimes it's right in the Quran, that they can sound like an enemy to you. They can be enemies to you. Allah says, but forgive, overlook, and cover up their faults. You can do that because you're stronger. You're stronger than those who have weak faith. So, brothers and sisters, be strong in faith. Be of those who accept the gifts of Allah, the gift of joy, the gift of this knowledge, the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran. Brothers and sisters, there's no knowledge in the creation that can elevate you higher than the Holy Quran. So quit wasting your time. Now, I'm not saying don't go get a degree. I'm not saying don't go get a degree. I'm not saying run away from the world. No. I'm saying get this knowledge of the Quran and let that be the deepest knowledge in your heart, mind, and soul, in your life. And then go at the world using the vision, the light that the Quran, the understanding, the wisdom that the Quran has, that Allah's going to use. He's going to shape you. Use the sight, the insight. Use the sight, the vision. Use the understanding. Use the wisdom. Use that, and then go back out in the world and see what happens. Only good things. You're going to be a leader. Go out there with an attitude. Your attitude should be, my Lord has done this for me, and He has said that He has made me of the supervising people, the supervisory people, those who are caretakers of the whole earth. So your mindset should be above the mindset of even the really, really rich man. The really, 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 really rich man. Prophet Esau, Jesus, peace be upon him, he told a rich man of his time, he said, it'll be harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it would be for a camel to get into the eye of a needle. Now, some people, you know, say, oh, that was talking about a gate over there and the camels had to pass through, and it was a famous gate, and the camels, it was too small for the camel. So, but take the wisdom that the messenger said, Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, he said that it'll be harder for a rich person. So wealth is not what's going to bring you nearer to Allah. And Allah says in the Quran, it's not your wealth, your children, any of those things that bring you nearer to Allah. You have to submit to Allah. If you take this Quran, the rich man won't be more powerful than you. The man with the big army won't be more powerful than you. The man with all the women, and you know, they offer you women come to you, whatever, if you're a woman, you know, the beautiful or handsome gentleman. Incidentally, while we're talking about this, brothers and sisters, don't let nobody make you think that you have to make decisions contrary to Allah's word on your sexuality, that you have to accept what the society is saying. There are so many people in this society that are out of their mind, people that we would normally, as a citizen, admire. You might say, oh, that's a famous person, that's an actor, or that's a singer, or you know. And no. Allah says, "What into ti akhtara mansil art, yudiluka ansabilillahi, in yattabiuna ila zonna, in whom ila yakrusun." If you were to follow the common run of the people on earth, if you were to follow the average person's mentality, the Quran says you would be led away from the way of Allah. These are Allah's words here. You would be led away from the way of Allah. They do nothing but conjecture. They do nothing but lie. So people are living in guesswork. You don't want to be part of that. You're not supposed to be living in guesswork. You got the book that makes things clear. You got the book that will give you certain sight, real sight, true sight. Esau, Jesus said, the truth will make you free, set you free. Real sight, original sight. This is the sight, our way of life that we call al-Islam or our Muslim life, our way of life is patterned on the same thing that all the natural creation is made out of. It's called, our religion is called Deen al-Fitra. It's patterned on everything. I don't like to just talk. Some people, now I will talk. I will. But I don't like to just talk for talk's sake. I'm not showing out. Like Imam Muhammad said one time. He said, you think I'm just trying to charm you or interest you? No, we're trying to save our lives, brothers and sisters. And we can do it, but we can only do it with Allah's help. We can only do it with the Quran and the Sunnah. And putting ourselves into action. We have to go to work with this. We have to believe it. We have to have faith in Allah. And we have to go to work. And we have to start doing more and more things. And don't be scared. More and more good things. And don't be scared. Don't follow the world. They don't have the answers. They don't have the answers. Prophet Esau, I'll give you an example. During his time, he told some people that were supposed to be the most knowledgeable people on earth. They called him the king of the what? The king of the Jews. So that community was waiting on a deliverer, and he came to the most knowledgeable people on earth. But he had to tell them something. He had to give them some corrective information. And he said, you're acting like a bunch of hypocrites. He said, you are children of the devil. How could he say that to people who are people of the book, people who are religious people, people who had the highest knowledge? Because they weren't following the knowledge. They weren't using the knowledge. They weren't living the knowledge. Brothers and sisters, if we follow the way of other people who call themselves religious people, who don't live what Allah has said, if we think a man can be mated with a man or a woman can be mated with a woman just because the society got so crazy that they're saying that kind of thing, then we'll be ruined too. I don't know... if my brother's still on the line, I don't mean to go on and on, but I just wanted to kind of familiarize people with my mentality. And I don't want any, I don't even have any other mentality than the mentality to be a believer who has been so blessed to find this Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hands of our late leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. He called me, he said, I am your Jesus, I'm your Christ, in other words. And the reason he could say that is because he was the type of person who was blessed with a knowledge he called the divine mind. The divine mind is the Holy Quran. Just for your information, the divine mind is the Holy Quran and Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of living it, the things he said, and that process that Allah sends you through that opens your eyes up, opens your mind up, lets you see things in nature, the signs of Allah hanging right in the atmosphere, right in front of you all the time, but you couldn't see them until you surrendered to Allah enough and he raised you up to where all of a sudden you got that clear sight, that certain sight. I'm thankful to Allah that I was brought through a time when all of this exists, and I've embraced that blessing, that gift, and I'm going to hold on to it. That's all I am. That's all I'm going to do. I don't want nothing else. There is nothing else that's going to work. Yeah, Allah says, if any, وَمَا يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَاتِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Says, if any desire a religion other or way of life other than Al-Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of them. Never will it be accepted of him and or her. And in the hereafter, they will be among the losers. So if my brother's still on the line, those are some of the things I wanted to say today. You can call me.
Okay, Allah, yeah, just enjoying it, brother. Alhamdulillah, you're coming through strong. Alhamdulillah, and I'm very glad to be instrumental in, I'm not saying introducing you to the Blog Talk family, but just being a part of it. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And I was telling the believers that, inshallah, what we're going to do is broadcast every day. So, you know, in order to, you know, get the believers, get a nice dose of your knowledge and wisdom, my brother.
Yes, sir. Well, now, I may not be able to do it every day, but I will do it as often as I can. And I feel like I want to do it every day, all day. Brother, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, I know that my, I hope that doesn't sound, you know, condescending or anything like that. It's not. You know, we have to recognize our heroes. We have to recognize and respect leadership. And we have to support leadership. And the, once we, you know, if we, they say, it's an old saying, they say, it, save your mind and your behind will follow. So we have to really now bring forth, and I'm talking to everybody that's on this line, we have to now bring forth all of our aspirations, all of our desires to please Allah and to do more with the tools that we have. Some of us got plenty of money. Some of us got a nice house. Some of us got opportunities to travel. We should be welcoming in others to our way of life. Yeah. We should be sharing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, also, I'm like, Brother Muhammad, could you tell us a little bit about education and the, you know, you have a you had a school. Your children were very small. You had a school, so you do. You are experienced. Could you tell us? Talk to us a little bit about your views. You know, well, I know your views on education is demands views on education, but could you tell us about some of the things that we should look out for, or some of the things that we should work toward in maintaining a school? Can you talk about education?
Oh yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Well, first of all, I believe in Allah and what He has said, and I believe that what He has said that will be with us and with mankind forever is what He gave to the messengers, and especially the completed book, the Quran, to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. And so what I've done with the Quran at the encouragement of Imam W. Muhammad is to study that book. And it's in the Quran. Study it as it should be studied. But one of the things he said was, he said, study it, study it, study. And he said, one day you'll have a breakthrough. He called it, he said he had the flash of lightning in his head. And sometimes you can feel these little, you know, feel like sparks or something. But he had a breakthrough. And when you study the Quran like that, you have these breakthroughs. So what I would do is would make dhikr a lot, and I would sit down and learn Quran. I try to learn a verse or part of a verse every day. If you try to learn a verse or part of a verse of the Quran every day, something very special is going to happen to you. You have to be convinced that there's no voice bigger than Allah's voice speaking to you through any vehicle better than the Quran. There's still, you know, pieces and bits and pieces and smidgens and good parts in the Bible and the previous scripture, but you have to be convinced that the la rayba fi, that there's no doubt, no flaws in the Holy Quran, and then you have to start treating it like the Last Supper, like it's your Last Supper, and eat it. So that was part of my primary education, is believing what Imam Muhammad was teaching and seeing that. His vision is what we all need. That divine mind, I wanted it too. When he talked about, you know, the blessings that Allah had given him, I wanted that too. So we have to study. He said one time, he said, study the dictionary so you can know the language. And he said, study you know, the what's going on in society, study business, study different things. He said every knowledge, is a blessing from Allah. Every knowledge. And he said the political knowledge, the educational knowledge, the cultural knowledge. So I want to work in the cultural world. And he said another thing, he said that every knowledge, every field of knowledge is contained inside of the culture. So that's why I call myself an Islamic cultural scientist or a sheikh of culture. Some women say, you ain't no sheikh. I had one brother tell me, you ain't no sheikh. I said, I might not be your sheikh, but I'm somebody's sheikh. And I'm not stuck on titles and all that. But the point I was making is that we have to respect leadership. And so people that really try hard, really work hard to establish themselves and to bring forth things for all of our benefit, we have to respect that. Nothing wrong with that. When our leaders, some of our leaders, Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Imam Muhammad, you know, they had titles. And, well, who gave them those titles? They gave the titles to themselves. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, it took him a while to start telling people that he was the messenger of Allah because he was nervous. He was scared at first. I don't know if you know that or not. In fact, I believe before he called himself a prophet, it was a person who was not of the Muslim community who said, you are a prophet. I think his name was Waraka bin Nafl. He was a cousin of the prophet's wife, peace be upon him, and may Allah bless her. And he said, I wish I could live a long time because the people are gonna be against you. I would like to help you. And he said, I wish I could live a long time to see you. He said, because the people are going to come against you because they're not going to agree with what you bring in. So anyway, brothers and sisters, we don't have the problem of and having to take all the risks and face all the dangers that the prophet, peace be upon him, had to face, telling people that he was somebody. We have the Quran, so you should, brothers and sisters, be able to recognize truth when you see it. Imam Muhammad said that's one of the qualities of a truly intelligent person, is to be able to follow truth or see truth wherever you find it. So if we hear a brother or sister that's working real good and they're talking sensible things, and we see them working real hard, and we see them working over years and years, don't disrespect that educational or educated person. Respect them, support them, and try to be like them. Heard Imam Muhammad say that too. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not only that, he said, copy the morals of even Allah. Copy the morals of Allah. So if Allah is creative, if Allah knows all, if Allah is charitable, if Allah is merciful, if Allah has guidance for us, what's wrong with us espousing or taking on those behaviors or that spirit, those spirits, and we're worshiping Allah. We're not worshiping spirits. We're worshiping Allah. What's wrong with us taking on that character, his divine, taking on something of his divine names, his divine character, his divine images? Yeah, I said image. He doesn't have a physical image, but he has moral image. I heard Imam Muhammad one time say that the more moral truthful your vision become, he said, the more moral truthful your vision become, the more secure life becomes for us or for you. The more moral truthful your vision become, where are you going to get that moral, that morality, that's truth, that's that truthful? It's in the Holy Quran. So if you take on what Allah has told you to take on as a mind, your mind will experience some essence or some quantity of the divine nature, and you won't be divine, but you'll be able to use what Allah has blessed you with and do miracles, like Imam Muhammad said, wonders on earth. No one is above us. If you go and you talk to the priests, and you talk to the rabbis, and you talk to the elders, and you talk to the ministers, and you talk to the PhDs, and you come to me and tell me, I had this book, and I got this, and I got that, and I got, and here's what so-and-so said, and you're not talking about Allah and Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're not talking about, you know, that level of wisdom, and that depth of wisdom, and your creation in that, then I know that the world encaptured you. There's no sheikh, no rabbi, no doctor, no, you know, in this society, there's probably not any sheikhs who can lead you around if you're a Muslim that was raised and born and raised in America, because people that come from other lands, they don't know your problem. They don't know you. You look very silly. Imam Muhammad says some of his followers, he said he had to straighten them out because some of them want the shoes with the toes turned up in the front. And a camel. Want to bring the camel to Juma and have the shoes with the toes turned up in the front, because we're still trying to follow people that we think are smart when Allah gave you the Quran so you can get smart. So I heard him also say one time, he said, we're not the lapdog of the people from overseas. Now, I'm not discriminating against them in a negative manner. I'm just saying that if I had a cousin and he looked just like me, and his mother and my mother were twin sisters, identical twins, we almost couldn't tell our own mothers apart. Is my auntie my mother? No. So brothers and sisters, receive what Allah has blessed you with. So to answer the question, this education that I have, I got it through the same avenue that's available to all of us. Everybody in this Muslim Ummah who had the blessing of following the reformer, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and our great Imam, our great Sheikh, our great leader, W.D. Muhammad, who Allah blessed with the correct interpretation and understanding of what he was looking at when he looked in the Quran, and what he was looking at when he looked in the Bible, and what he was looking at when he studied the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Everybody who's
in this community, we have the same opportunity. That's it for me. Oh, one last thing, please. My cell phone number for a text. If you text me your email address, I'll send you out some of my writings. I have every Juma, we are live, so you can call in and listen to our Juma. If you're back east or if you're sick and shut in, you can call and listen to our Juma out here in California. Number is 310-925-3945. 310-925-3945. If you'll text me your email address, I'll send you some of our Jumas. I got over 1,200 Jumas, at least that many. Thank you.
All right, praise you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir, brother. So, alhamdulillah. And if anybody, you know, like I said, this is our maiden voyage, our beginning point, inshallah. We'll be on daily as much as possible. If somebody want to contact me, my name is Amin Muhammad, and I'll give you my email address. It's Mohammed@DSLExtreme.com. Mohammed@DSLExtreme. That's Dave Sam Larry Extreme. Extreme. Mohammed was spelled with Mohammed at DSL Extreme. And like I said, Facebook page, New Africa, Space Code and STEM Academy, New Africa, Space Code and STEM Academy. And you can reach me at area code 213-925-8771, 213-925-8771. You can text me or call me direct. Alhamdulillah. Like I was saying, what we want to do, since Imam Muhammad was so impressed with Why We Want You to Be Rich, the book by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, that is what we're going to study. We're going to begin studying that book. And like I said, I would advise you to do what I do. Check out a subscription to the Wall Street Journal and start reading as much financial information as you can. One of the cornerstones of the teaching of Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump is financial education, he says. We have to become financially literate and understand the dollar, all about money, as much about money. Robert Kiyosaki says that that is one of the tricks of our educational system, that they never taught us about money in school. They taught us about everything else, you know, gave us big words, calculus and algebra and everything, but they never really taught us about money, stock market, bonds, NASDAQ. So all those big financial institutions, they never really taught us that in elementary school, middle school, junior high school, that, you know, we really don't know anything about, you know, the stock market, the stock exchange, and things like that. That was intentionally. So that is one of the cornerstones of Robert Kiyosaki. So we're going to begin that, and like Imam Muhammad said, in March 3rd, 2008, if you go to my Facebook page, you can see that talk, what he does, where he really praises that book and praises Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, saying they're good-hearted humans. They're good-hearted humans. And I'm going with the Imam. I follow guidance. I follow leadership. And I have faith. Faith. You know, in these uncertain times of all this difficulty and so much we've been hearing pro and con, you know, I have faith in what the Imam said, first of all. So that's what we plan to do every day. So, you know, talk about money, talk about collective buying, talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's insight into economics and money. You know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he said something that a lot of very educated economic thinking people really don't really understand. He talked about the dollar, how the dollar had lost its power. He says this, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in either the fall of America or message to the black man. He talks about the fall of the dollar. Kiyosaki says a part of the financial education is for us to go into the history of money here in the United States. And he starts right at the creation of the Federal Reserve, how the Federal Reserve came to the United States in 1913. That's in his books, you know, how the Federal Reserve came. These very wealthy Europeans come together and created that so-called banking system. It's not federal. There has no reserves. It's just a so-called banking system that these people have, and they came together and captured our financial system. That's what they did in 1913. So Kiyosaki talks about that. Also, Kiyosaki talks about 1971. 1971 was the year that Richard Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. You have to learn what the gold standard is. The gold standard is, before 1971, all money was backed by either gold or silver. For every dollar that was created or printed, it was backed up by an equivalent amount of gold or silver. And in 1971, Richard Nixon took America off the gold standard. Now, what did that mean when that dollar was taken off the gold standard? That meant that the Federal Reserve, the people in power, the people who handle our money, could print money at will. They could print as much money as they wanted to. And we really couldn't keep track of it, because before 1971, every dollar had to be backed up by an equivalent amount of gold or silver, of gold, actually of gold. But Richard Nixon took America off the gold standard, and now these people print as much money as they want and distribute it, causing inflation and a lot of other things. So these are the type of things that we have to study and understand, you know, and becoming financially literate and to understand that book that Imam Muhammad really praised. He really was excited about it. He says, "Why They Want You to Be Rich." That was the book by Robert Kiyosaki.